I just often, but I use so much scripture and jump Bible so much that you might not turn to every verse I go to unless you know them pretty well. You might be flipping or I might lose you. So I'll give you every reference and I'll read them to you. But if you want to turn to every, just listen along, that's fine. If you don't have a Bible, fine. I'll read all the verses to you. Use a lot of scripture, and you're always fine. You don't have to turn to every verse I turn to. We use the Bible, and so it's difficult to keep up. We'll start in Matthew 11. Today I'm going to talk about how to burn out. How many know what being burnt out is? How many ever been burnt out? How many? Now I'm going to ask how many are burnt out. How many of you? A lot of us have experienced it. I want to talk about not being burnt out. You can look. You just drive, walk to the store. If you have a people, and just walk down the street, people are they're done, man. They're tired. They're kind of burnt out and kind of they look like they're 150 pounds in their back and have been 4 days, and some haven't, but a lot of them are just run. And I like getting burnt out. And I want to teach you today, biblically, God knew about that. God knew everything we'd faced, and so He, in His Word, how to deal with things, and about how not to be burnt out in a society. We are all hangers in our society. In the rat race. And as before, the problem with the rat race is even if you're still a rat. And you don't want to run the rat race too much. And you're a hamster and run around. You just run around and run around and run around. And you get all tired and say, look, I succeeded. I've got enough money, but I'm to spend it. That doesn't do you a lot of good. You miss how fast life passes you by if you're just not controlling it, but life's controlling you. And so how not to get burnt out, Matthew chapter 11. I'm going to read a long passage because it all fits in the context. And I'm going to focus at the end of the verse, but the whole chapter is important. To chapter 11 and verse 15, it says, "And Jesus said unto them, Can the children of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom with them? But the days will come when the bridegroom shall be taken from them, and then shall they feast." I'm at the wrong page, sorry. I wasn't mad. The page turned on me. Sorry, confused you. That's why I tell you not to turn to it, because I'm reading all stuff. Matthew 11, verse 15. Sorry. He that hath ear, doubt. He that hath ears, hear, let him hear. But unto shall I liken this generation, is like unto the children sitting in the mark, calling unto their fellows. And we have piped unto, and ye have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and ye have lamented. For John either eating or drinking, and they he hath a devil. And the Son of Man eating and drinking, and they say, Behold, a man gluttonous and a winebibber of publican and sinners. Wisdom is justified of our children. That's a verse to preach on. I just don't have time today. When you're secure and know you're right, it'll prove itself. You don't have to argue in a petty way. You say, they argue with you, and you say, okay. I do that with my kids times. I'll tell them, I wouldn't do that. It's not very wise. No, fine. Okay. Of course, they run to mommy afterward. But you know, I think sometimes people need to learn, and sometimes wisdom ends up right in the end itself. It doesn't be argued and screamed, I am right, and stomped. You know, wisdom is out of our children. Want to know if he has anything to teach you, watch the next generation. That's why grandma should teach us something about parenting sometimes. If they've done a good job. Now, if they've done a good job, then maybe not. Wisdom is justified of our children. Wisdom forth the truth and proves itself in time. Wisdom isn't just a winning an argument right now. But that's another sermon. Verse 8. Then began he to upbraid these that were most, wherein most of the works were done, because he repented not. A couple things to note as we get the context to the going to focus on. Notice, first of all, he's saying, you misunderstood me and called me a bibber and all these bad things. Now he says, I'm going to rebuke you, cities, but you've rejected me. So on both counts, he's talking about people not listening to him and rejected. With that, he began to upbraid, verse 20, the cities where most of the mighty works were done, because they repented. Woe unto thee, Chorazin, woe unto thee, Bethsaida, for if the mighty works were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented and go in sackcloth and ashes. Without spending too much time on it, and cities are different, and areas are different. Seattle is not Bill, Alabama. I didn't expect when I came to start a church here. I'm not expecting that I'm Pensacola, Florida. It's a different area. It's not the Bible Belt. And different cities respond different ways to the gospel. And that's why you can't look at a number and determine whether you're a successful church. You please and you're successful. And if there's one person, well, that's fine. As long as you please, and it's all that matters. even Jesus, they wouldn't repent for him preaching miracles. Verse 22, but unto you it shall be more tolerable in Tyre and Sidon at the day of judgment than for you, to whom much is given, much is required, and more accountability. And that Capernaum, which art exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For the mighty work which have been done in thee, had it been in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you, it shall be more trouble for the land of Sodom in the judgment than for thee. So understand, God's given you truth, and God's been with you and sent to you. You have accountability to you than someone who doesn't know the truth. So thank God you know the truth, but realize, if you know the truth, God says, now you know accountable, so you need to do what's right. Verse 5, but at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things wise and prudent, and hast revealed unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it is good in thy sight. All things delivered unto me of my Father, and knoweth the Son but the Father, and no man, and neither knoweth any man the Father's Son, but he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. I'm burnt out. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the God. Thank you for this God. Father, thank you. I don't have to stand up in man's wisdom and man's ability and man's strength and try to teach the very words and thoughts of heaven. But I have the Holy Spirit inside, and where two or more are gathered, you're in the midst of them. And Lord, we don't depend on flesh and blood, wisdom of man, and the ability of man to help us, Father. We look to you and to the Spirit of God to quicken us according to your word. And speak to us now in a great way. Lord, help us today to learn, be strong and refreshed, and not doubt, so we can go do the things that we need to do, Lord. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. There's many reasons not to be burnt out. One is, you can't do what you need to do. When you're burnt out, talking about physically tired, it's easier when you're physically tired to do what you need to do than when you're burnt out and you're exhausted. For example, if you're a parent, when you're burnt out, you don't want to play with the kids. And the kids say, let's play. And you go, okay, here's a ball. Oh, I missed it. Oh, for me. And you just kind of, you do that, and you kind of just, do real good. And you know what? Kids need your attention. Time. And one of the dearths of our society, and the sad things is parents so burnt out, they just send it to the TV set. Not spending that. By the way, it's not spending time with kids watching TV with them. Okay? You're not spending time together. But there's better ways to spend time with your kids. And we're so tired, you can't do stuff. You don't want to go to church when you're burnt out. You don't want to read your Bible and pray and God. And you pray when you're exhausted. And your prayers are no good, not too deep. You're, Lord, I pray you'd bless the world. And God wants you to intensity. And he wants you to pray passionately. And when we're tired, we don't pray in passion. We don't give our God our best. And we're just tired, run down. And you know what? That's not a good way to live. It's a strange thing that when we usually work, we usually give our best to our job and the leftovers for God and our family. I don't think that's the way God intended. Give the best to your God and your family, and give your job your leftovers. That's why it's good when families work together. Because they could be strong and help together and give their best. Jesus is fascinating in this chapter here. Jesus was rejected and not listened to. And then Jesus, strangely enough, says, okay, all of you tired and weary and done and exhausted, come to me and take care of it. You would think Jesus would be going, listen, guys, I'm exhausted. I've been doing miracles. When the woman's garment, virtue departed out of me, that strength. I'm tired. I've been doing miracles. There's been much coming and going, as Jesus said. And nobody's listening to me, and I'm tired and worn down. You know what? Everybody just go away. That's kind of what we do when we're burnt out, isn't it? Go away. Alone. That's what I do. I like being alone when I'm tired and exhausted. I'm kind of a loner. And instead, Jesus says, everybody tired and exhausted, come unto me. Because Jesus was refreshed, though he was rejected. He was doing fine, though no listening to him. Though he wasn't liked, and though he put a lot of effort, but he changed because of his efforts, he was still fine. That's a lot different than we. Boy, one of the things that gets people quickest is rejection. Just, oh. They don't like me. But Jesus knew how to be refreshed. He was 100% God and 100%. And he did some amazing things. And I think this chapter and some other spots, we can see how to not be burnt out. Number one, have joy and thankfulness. He just said, you have rejected me and it's going to be very bad for you in the judgment time. Then he said, he immediately gets done. Rough sermon. Verse 24, but I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day than for you. Verse 19, you all have called me names and said I'm all these bad things. But then he says, at the end of all these sermons, he looks, verse 5, and at that time Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O my Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them unto babes. Jesus was thankful. First thing he does when he's been rejected and tells about a pending judgment, he looks up and he says, thank you, Father. He didn't let circumstances, what was happening around him, take away his thankfulness. But it doesn't say give thanks, just give thanks. You know, the Bible says not just give thanks, be thankful. That is an end of who you are. You're a thankful person. Someone goes and they say, you know what? Man, you know what? This is undercooked. Another says, you know, I'm glad I have enough food today. One person says, you know what? I don't have anywhere. As they look at a gigantic closet full of clothes, certain genders. And I don't have anything to wear. Another person says, look at all these I have to wear. But what? These aren't designers. Buddy, if you ever get really poor, designers doesn't mean as much anymore. $150 shoe. My mom won't buy the new, you know, whatever, Air Jordan, the new... Well, bad, I can't think of bad players' names right now. I know that. I don't got the new LeBron James shoes. I don't got the... Mom, you're turning me. You're a neglectful parent. So let's go. Hey, this looks better. I'm getting poor. Where is the thrift store? And some people put some nice shoes in thrift stores. And you know what? I can't jump high no matter what I wear. It doesn't matter. I always want something that feels good. And so spoiled. But some people are thankful people. Oh man, this church, you don't a nice church building. Where's the lattes church? And you know all this stuff. And somebody says, the government's not kicking the door in and taking us today. I mean, we can be full people like Jesus, who in the middle of everything else says, you know what, I thank you, Father. The Bible says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You don't get strength from a pill. You don't get strength because he loves you. You don't get strength because you don't have problems. I will not in this message today tell you how to have problems so you'll never get burnt out. I haven't figured that one out yet. It's not in the Bible. You're going to have problems. Man that is born of woman is a few days full of trouble. Jesus said, in this world he shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. John 16:33. He says, you're going to have tribulation, but be thankful and have joy. Nehemiah chapter 8:10, the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know when things are good and you have joy and you're thankful and you know how to be a thankful person, did you know you don't get burnt out nearly? You have much more strength. There's days when everything's good at work and you got something to look forward to at home, and the drive down I-5 does not make you a basket case. I mean, driving down the road, pounding the steering wheel, yelling at everybody, tailgating, slamming on your brake. Ah. But then sometimes when you have joy and you're good and you're happy, you know what? You can go ahead and go. I'll be okay. I'm looking forward to getting tonight. I'm not going to get angry. Joy gives you strength, and thankfulness is strength to endure things. People have joy and thankfulness. I thank thee, O my Father. Not, why do they reject me? Why do they lean to me, Father? Just destroy them all. No. I thank you, Father, the children and the babes, the people who are simple, understand, and they've listened, Father. Not who isn't here, but who is here. Who didn't listen, but who did listen. Not what's wrong, what's right. Not what's wrong with your body, but what's right with your body. Well, Pastor, I would be thankful if I was as healthy as you. You know, folks, issues too. I've hit the big 4-1. It's all over now. You know what? I got aches, pains, and issues and everything else, but you know what? You who say you're, oh, poor me, I'm not in Brother Campbell's shoes. I can see. I got real good vision. Don't sleep on me. And I got real good vision. I can walk, I can run, I can jump, I can talk, I can be with my kids, I can wrestle with my boys and beat them, praise the Lord. I can do all that stuff, and you know what? I got a lot right, and you got a lot of things right. You're alive, free, you can breathe, you can see, you can hear and talk. And people who are thankful look at America and live in a blessed nation, and people who are unthankful say this nation's terrible. I don't know what they focus on. They need people overseas. Go spend some time in China, you'll understand. America's not quite as bad as you think. Have joy and thankfulness in life. Get burnt down, exhausted, if all's you, everything's wrong. Quit watching the news, by the way. Watch it if you need to be informed for 1 hour and then be done, because all's is what's wrong. Remember when they used to have good news? I remember good news. Definitely very few good news they used to have. And you know, there's a lot of things going right, and your life isn't as bad as you think. Number one, have joy and thankfulness, and you will not get so burnt out. Two, trust God. Verse 26, he says, even so, Father, for it's good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me and my Father, and no man the Son say the Father only. And he says right there, he says very simply, he says, I thank you, Father, you've revealed the right people, the truth to them, and it seemed good to you to do that, and all things from the Father delivered to me. He says, you know what, Father, you know what you're doing. If they reject, you know what you're doing. I trust you. Some people ride in the car with you, and they ride in the car. The people are backseat drivers. I hope you're not one of those wicked drivers. My wife is so good about that. I always drive. My wife never drives when we're there. And she, I can tell, I make her nervous. And when I make her nervous, she never says a word. All she does is grip the little armrest. Did you know those backseat drivers who are, stop, you're too close. Did you know because they don't trust you, they don't have a very restful ride? All right, let's see. How many are backseat drivers? All right. How many of you can't stand backseat drivers? All right. You got your permit. I have one. So I'm a front seat. Pray for me. You know, you're along and the Lord is driving your life in his hands. And you're going, Lord, what? You know what you're doing? God's like, that's a dumb question. Do I know what I'm doing? Lord, I mean, my finances, my Lord, we can. Why am I so tired all the time? Because you're not relaxing and trust God. Worry, he knows what he's doing. All things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are called to his purpose. Let me read out of Psalms 37. So people are so stressed out, even Christians nowadays, just so stressed out. Everything got to be under control. Everything's got to be settled. Every bill has got to be, how it's going to get paid. Everything has got to be done. And they can't just say, you know what, Lord, what's going on, but I'll just trust you. It's called resting in the Lord, and it makes you so you don't get burnt out. And Jesus said, well, they rejected me here, and they rejected me there, and they're talking about me. But I, Father, because you know what you're doing. I trust you, Lord. A lot of times, I'm trust the God of the universe that he might know what he's doing. Psalms 37, verse, commit thy way unto the Lord, also into him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring thy righteousness as the light, judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait thee for him. For thyself, because of him who prospereth in the way, be man which bringeth evil devices. Cease from anger, forsake wrath of thyself, and any wise to do evil. It just says very simply twice. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently. Well, Lord, we're in a pickle here. You know what I said? Lord, Lord, this is a mess. I don't know what we're going to do. And then I don't go, what are you doing? No, I just say, well, Lord, you have to work this out because I don't see a solution. Say, you, pastor, don't see it sometimes? All the time. It's called living by faith. Say, hands now, I've done all I can do. I'm not going to be stressed out. Life's too short. Stressed out. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Either God's able to tear you or he's not. Either God's going to go, oh, what are we going to do? I can't afford that. Or God's going to say, you know what? If you trust me, I take care of you. I take care of the birds, I take care of the sparrows. I take care of the ants. I can handle your problems. But if you will continue to stress out everything in life, you will get out because you don't trust God. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. That's what it says. Trust in the Lord, verse 3. Just wait for God. Do you believe God can work and take care of you? Or is he in? No, God of the universe can take care of anything. Yoke up with Jesus. Let's go back to our in Matthew and chapter 11. Yoke up with Jesus. Verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Very simple. Yoke is, it was an old farm tool that hooked two oxen or horses together and two donkeys or whatever, and it would hook around one neck, and it'd hook around the other's neck, and they together the chain would go behind them, and they would pull things, the chain of rope, and they were yoked together, a yoke of oxen. It's fascinating. The Son of God looks at us and says, take my yoke up to a yoke and take it upon you. Because my yoke is very easy, my burden is light. It's a simple, beautiful there because Jesus says, here I am, and I'm ready to pull, hop in. And I will. And when you hop into my yoke is not hard. My burden is easy and light. The reason it's easy and light is because he's pulling with you. You have the King of the universe pulling the load with you instead of sitting there on one side by yourself, pulling and pulling and pulling and pulling, and tired and exhausted, and I can't get anything done. And I can't. What? You yoke up with Jesus, and he can pull the weight. Yoke up with Jesus. His yoke. That means for him and his plan. Let go of yoke in life. What do I want to do with my life? What's my for my life? What do I want to do? Where's my plan? What am I going to do? And you plan everything out and try to do everything best you know how to do. And you get to the end and say, that's my yoke. And my yoke's very heavy, tiring. I tried living my life for myself. I live my life for what I want to do. And I'm exhausted. Let me just live for God and take yoke upon me. See, if you live your life for you, then you got your yoke by yourself. And you got to pull all your own weight. But when you say, Lord, here's my life. I'm for you, Lord, and serve you with my life. And the Lord says, okay, hop in. I'm pulling with you because it's now my life. You gave your life to me. And my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How is your weary plowing yourself going? Can I ask you that? For myself, I'm trying to do my own thing. I'm going to do what I want to do and live like I live. And how's that been for you? Is your soul resting? So it's a pretty heavy load when you toil in a life that you don't know the future and it's going to happen and you don't know many things. Life is unsure. And your life, and you keep trying to live for yourself. Dude, the strange thing is living for yourself will not satisfy you. It'll exhaust. And living for God gives you a wonderful, abundant life where it's not a load. Jesus said, take my yoke upon you. Is your weary plowing for yourself going to continue that? Work with Jesus. You'll find out it's a good life. Work for Jesus. Let me take another message here. You want to have joy and thankfulness, trust in God, yoke up with Jesus. And next, Galatians 6. There's Bible ways here. And I'm going to try to hurry a little bit to get through things because there's several Bible ways. God gives us ways not to burn out. Galatians 6, a few things. Next thing I want to say, if you want to go and not be burnt out, for others. Galatians chapter verse 1. Brethren, if a man be taken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, or such a one, in the spirit of this, consider thyself, lest thou all be tempted. Bear ye one another's, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 10, as we have opportunity, let us do to all men, especially unto them who are the household of people right now, tell you the names, I would never do that. You told me, Pastor, I'm exhausted and run down to get out of church for a while and take care of myself. A lot of people for a lot of years, folks, and done a lot of ministry work with people. Those people never come out of that. As long as you focus on yourself, I'm going to take care of me and me and me and me. I'm going to do me and take care of myself, make sure I'm happy. Me and me and me. That's what Jesus was doing. Oh, you're laboring or heavy laden? Come to me and let me help you. I don't understand the logic of it. I explain it to you logically. I just know this. People who get other people on their mind and care people, they aren't as miserable and exhausted as those who always think about themselves. Those who always think about themselves the most miserable. You think because they thought about themselves all the time, make themselves happy, but they're the biggest curse and the biggest complainers. And those of you who can find somebody, it says, you are spiritual, restore such to God. And he says, you know what? Here are other people. Look not every man in the things of himself, every man also in the things of others. Look to other people and find somebody that needs. You'll be surprised how much energy you'll get if you spend helping somebody else. You'll be surprised how all of a sudden you'll find energy when you say, you know what? That needs my help. Let me go help them. You'll be surprised how exhausted you are when all you're trying to do is fight yourself. Live for others. Let me say this. Burnout is very important you get this. Ready? Because most people don't grasp. Burnout is less about your schedule and more about your purpose. And hope than hopelessness. I tell you, it is not your schedule. It's gonna. I wish I could just take everybody here and just let me do person A, person B, person C. Let me introduce people. I know some people who have no jobs, nothing to do, and do nothing all day. No, plenty of them. Love them to death. I go to their house. I visit them. Bring them all kinds of things. Who absolutely exhausted. They do nothing but lay around, watch TV, lay on the couch. They get up to eat. And they're exhausted people. And they're burnt out. And they say, you know, I just need to, I can't go to church. And I can't go do anything right now. I'm just down. And I know people who are very, 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 very busy who seem very spry. Because it is not your tool. If I illustrate it this way, if I could go and I said, you know, write out your perfect job. I mean, anything. I mean, like, be a football player? Sure. What do you want to do? I mean, like, feeding poor people? Sure. Anything in life. I want to go drive Cadillacs for... Okay. I want to go and feed hungry people in Sudan. Okay? Whatever job you want. Anything that's your dream job. I want to go and go for a living. Okay, fine. Whatever you want to do. Something you just love doing more than anything in the world. I'd like to go help people rehab off drugs. Fine. Whatever you'd like. If it was your dream job, in perfect office, in your perfect condition, in the perfect body, and everything was just exactly like you like it, would you be tired after work? No. But if you got to do it for 60 hours a week? Nope. 80 hours a week? Nope. Listen, I've been on schedules where I've been scheduled, not including sleeping and eating, 150 hours a week before I slept. Yeah, you need a certain amount of sleep, and you got to sleep a certain amount, but you know, if you have purpose, you know how easy it is to get up in the morning? Oh, that's not true, and I'm tired. Christmas. Fine, your kid says, oh, I don't got energy, I'm so tired in the morning. Christmas. You're like, all right, I got to go wake him up, go through the process, 16-step process of getting him out of bed. Okay, time to get up. I'm already up. I'm ready to go. I'll watch you back to presents. And they're already awake. Why? Because they have a purpose to get up. You know what it's like when you're getting up for vacation, you're getting something fun? You get up in the morning. When I was a kid, I hated to get up in the morning. They would, but then I had a neighbor who used to take us hunting. And you know how early he used to get? Early, but you know what? It wasn't a problem. But school? I didn't get up so good for school. Why? Because it was something I didn't like, and I didn't have a purpose, and I just, purpose of school. And I like it, and so I didn't like getting up. And but you know what? And you're the same way. When you have something to look forward to, you get energy. No matter how tired you want to go golfing, okay, I'm feeling great. What happened to you? You were tired a minute ago. Why? You have found purpose. And it's very simple. It's not your schedule, it's a purpose. And when you're hopeless and don't like doing, listen, when you hate your job and have no hope at your job, you're exhausted when you get there. And you say, oh man. And all day long, look at the clock and the clock doesn't move. Oh. You're drained. Why? Because you like what you're doing and there's no purpose. When you live for others, you find a purpose. When you do what you do, you find purpose and you find energy. You're not run down because you're living for something that matters. Go to work for Jesus. People work tirelessly for what they love. Next, believe that the Lord rewards greatly. Verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. He that soweth the flesh shall the flesh reap. For he that soweth the spirit. Spirit reap a life everlasting. And let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint. That means quit. You will be greatly. Let me read you out of Hebrews chapter 6, just a couple verses here. We will be rewarded in due season if we don't quit. And Hebrews 6 and verse 10 says, for it's not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of which ye have showed his name, and that ye have ministered to saints and do minister. Verse 11, we desire every we do show the same diligence to the fullest of hope unto the end. If you went to a job, and I said, okay, we got a job for tomorrow, and this job, at the end of the day, is going to pay you $250,000 if you work hard with attitude. You get $50,000 for the day. How many of you would find the energy in the good somewhere? You'd handle it? Sure, I'll do, boss. Oh, yeah, this is the best job. How great you are. How can I serve? You don't want a job? That's okay. I'll do your job for you. What can I do? Glad to be here. Let's work hard. Hey, everybody, let's have a team spirit. We could be pretty good workers if that was the thing. And you'd be happy to work all day, and you'd be joyful at work. You'd be saying, great day. When I go home, buddy, $50,000 in my pocket. This is awesome. Excited about work today. Why? Because you believe you're getting rewarded in a great way. It's the way life is supposed to be. Man, I'm serving God. Jesus said they rejected me, but Father, I'm doing well, and great is my reward in heaven. And when they persecute you and revile you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake, rejoice in that day and be exceedingly glad. They just persecuted me. No, be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. Getting a lot of reward, you can handle a whole bunch. You can handle a bunch when you realize God is a great reward. He is a great reward to them who diligently seek him. It says, not unrighteous to forget your labor of love. The Lord rewards greatly. Next, give the Lord a day of rest. Give a day of rest. Let me go back to exit. And squeeze out of here, finish these last few. I'll try to get them all in today to teach you how not to be out. Exodus chapter 31. It says verse 17. This is a Sabbath. It is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, and the 7th day he rested, and then watch as, and was refreshed. God was refreshed. God was refreshed. And let me take it forward to Mark chapter 2. Explain the Sabbath to you a little bit so you can understand why we should miss Mark chapter 2. Verse 27. The Sabbath was made for man and not man's Sabbath. Let me explain to you the Sabbath is Saturday. we're not on the Sabbath day. Sabbath was Saturday in the Bible, last day of the week. Sunday is the first day. Look at your calendar. It says S-N-E. And so it's the Sunday is what we think of the last week. But in the Bible, the Sabbath day was a day of rest. God was refreshed in that day. And God said, I'm going to make this for you so that you can refreshed. Now, Jesus had to do all kinds of things that violated the Sabbath. He was doing is Sabbath was a picture in the Bible of salvation, of resting when he gets, and you're resting and it's ceasing from your own, the Bible says, as being saved. You quit working to get in and trust Christ. And he says, I'm teaching you about the Sabbath. I want you to Sabbath, but I didn't make it so you'd worship Sabbath. I wanted it for you to be refreshed on the Sabbath. I made it for you to be refreshed. If you have 7 days a week and go and go and go and go, you're down. Many people play on their rest day. They say, it's my day off. I'm going to go quadding. I'm going to go do this. I'm going to go do this. You're not resting. Study many, many years ago where they had a factory with one shift, and they produced the same thing. And they tested this factory because the boss wanted to know, and he had the same employees work 7 days a week, hours a day, and he had them work 6 days a week, hours a day. Strangely enough, he found out that over time, those who work 6 days a week, 8 hours a day, got more done than the people who work 7 days, 8 hours a day. Made more products. So wait a minute, they had 8 hours a week more, but they're exhausted. You know the speed you work exhausted? And the speed you're not tired. And if you will take a day to God, now in the New Testament they would meet on Sunday times, and they would take that day, worship on that day, and give to God that day, because Jesus was in the dead on Sunday, and so they made that church day. And if you'll just take a day of now and just say, this is a day I'm going to give to God, and I'm going to rest and meditate and think on God. Take a nap, maybe, go to service, read the Bible. You would find out that on Friday, getting up in the morning to go is not a resurrection. You'd find out you're not so drained. I got so much to do. Do it 6 days, and you'll find out you can get a lot more done in 6 days. Give a day to God, put it aside, and you'll find out that you're glad it, and it'll be better. Next thing, two more things, and I'm done. Live the easier life. Proverbs. In chapter 4, live the easier life. This is simple and so funny. There's two lifestyles that you can live, and one is much easier than the other, and you can exhaust yourself living the hard way. Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is as a shining that shineth more and more into the perfect day. The path of the just, a godly life, shines more and gets better and better and better. Can I tell you something? Living for God is it's going to get better and better. It's an improving path. It says, shine more and more into the perfect day, the path of the just. A godly life, shine more and more, and it's a good life. Proverbs 13. And there's many of the verses of Proverbs that say these same things, but let me just read a couple. let's see, verse 15, we'll read the verse before about it also. But understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard. Tell you, I've worked many jobs, construction and docks and all, every kind of job you can imagine. I've worked delivery. Can I tell you, just the 25-year-old guys, us working together, the guys who were out drinking, partying all week long, they were exhausted. Their lives were tough, and the girlfriend hated them, and they had hangovers, and life was tough, and life was good. And you know what? They were miserable. But they're doing all the fun things. They're partying, they're drinking, doing this and that. They're sleeping with the girlfriend. They're great time. They weren't. I mean, they were having first spurts, and then they're unhappy, miserable, and griping, and tired, and exhausted. Those who were living for God, that I knew, it's an easier life. It's more resting. It's just more peaceful. It's a happier way of life. Listen, the average person, talk to people and talk to that 40 or 50-year-old person, and I'm talking to them about their kids, and I'll just say, you know what, you've done all these things. They don't want to give up their stuff. I said, do you want your kids to grow up like you? Well, no, I tell them to live like you. Why? Because it's obvious, living for God and living a pure and holy life. Listen, the kids were a lot happier in De Beaver and Andy Griffith than the kids nowadays. But the kids nowadays more cool stuff? Yeah. I mean, their little video game has more technology than what the moon. And they have a lot of stuff, and they have gadgets and fancy things, and now they have huge houses. Great-grandpa grew up in a house, 8, 9, 10 kids in it with 1,000 square feet, and they're all happy running around playing on the farm, and the kids nowadays have 4,000 square feet, and they're the only kid in the house, and they run up all day. Because we've come in a more society, and we see a lot in here, and the way of a transgressor is hard, the way of a life. And by the way, I can have a bunch of people in this room, testimonies of that, who come out of it. Man, it is so much easier to serve God than what I've been. It's just an easier way of life, and it runs you down. Look at the person. Look at the lady walking out of the bar who's 60 years old. Look at the lady walking out of the church who's 60, and they've both been in it the whole life, and look at how they look. It's just a fact. The way transgressor is hard. It ages you. Thing, spend time with the right... Let me 2 Corinthians. I'm not out of time. Verses in Proverbs about this. They're all over Proverbs. 2 Corinthians. Do you want to keep being burnt out? The Lord first, you'll find out you don't have to be exhausted, miserable, and tired. There's too many sad people in our society who are just drained of energy for doing the right things. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 13. Therefore we are comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly and more joyed, for we joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed. This is the opposite of burnt out by you all. Let me explain to you something real quick. All of our Proverbs, it says, this person is a whiz to your bones. This person will bring you a block. This person is hard on you. The Bible says you raise a fool, a sorrow to your soul and weariness to your bones. There is a kind of person who drains you. How many of you know somebody who, when you get around, they are a energy and happiness, they drain you? There are certain people you hound who exhaust you. And they're certain you hang around, you feel better when you're around them. And they refresh you. Pastor Byron, and here's, let me help you. Please listen to me. There are people very compassionate. And they love people a whole bunch. And they bring very compassion. They bring very neat people around them all the time. They listen to, they hang people. They talk to people. They are with people. They bring them into their house, their best friends, and they are troubled, heavy burdened people who exhaust them. And they bring them around all the time. And they say, they need my help. Who's going to help? I'm not there for them. They are dragging you down. Explain it this way. I help a lot of people. I help people dealing every week of my life with somebody with a protection order, somebody else a probation officer, somebody else failing to use. I deal with this stuff all the time. I've numbered a RJC, Regional Justice Center, memorized. I'm in all the jails here. I deal with troubled people all the time. There's many people in this room right now are addicted to drugs, everything, and I help them all the time. I deal with people all the time. Listen to me carefully, though. It is not who I hang around. Okay? I want to steer high and happy in the Lord. The joy of the Lord is my strength. I am trying to lift these people up, and it's very hard to lift people. It's exhausting. So I am not going to do this all day. I don't home. Do not. How many think I'm going to forget I'm up here? Do not bring draining, exhausting people into your home. I've had people in our home. We've had several single moms, people live in our home, but not the people I'm in jail every week. My home needs to be peaceful because I need people who refresh me most of the time, so I have the strength to reach down and lift up somebody who's weak. Because listen, if you work every single day and all you do is lift things, lift heavy things, and you go home and lift heavy things and lift things all day, every day, you're going to back. Be around people all week long. Go to church, have godly people. In your house, have godly people in your home. Do not bring, well, they don't have else to stay. That's because they got evicted from 17 places. And they just got out of jail somewhere else. And I love those people, and I'll have compassion on them, but don't bring them into your home. You don't want to go home and say, oh, I have to go deal with you. Oh, you're going to be burnt out. You help and you minister to people, and I do it, and I believe, think you ought to bring them to church with. Go take them to Starbucks. Pray for them. Run them over to the place they have to go. All this stuff, and we love them. However, if you're around draining people, weariness to your soul, and tire you all the time, you'll have no strength to help them. You will get burned out. You take those people and make them your friends. Love them. You have compassion on them, and you be there for them, and you be their best friend in the whole world. You better have some good friends and good in your home all the time and be refreshed most of the time. And then you'll have the strength to lift up the people who need a lot of help. There are people who need a lot of help, but it's tiring. And you cannot go home to a battle a single day. You go home to a battle every day, you'll be laying on the couch going, I can't move. I'm drained and exhausted. If they tell me I won the lottery, I'm too tired to pick up my check. All right, I believe better pick it up. But you know what I'm talking about there. If you just drain yourself, get around some good people. Reach yourself with good people. Get around the right crowd. His spirit was refreshed by all. That's what you want. Let me give these points one more time, and we'll pray. Have joy in this. Trust God. Yoke up with Jesus. Live for others. Believe the Lord rewards glee. Give the Lord a day of rest. Live the easier life. And spend time with the right crowd. If you do these things, and by the way, you don't know Christ is your Savior, you're not saved today, going to heaven, you are not 100% sure you're going to heaven, you're find rest in Jesus when you make Him your Savior. He'll forgive all your sins, and that's refreshing. When you're just bow for prayer. Father, thank you for that. God, just teach all these points, Lord. I didn't know if I'd get them. But Lord, we're in a drained, exhausted, tired world, Father, of people who need refreshing. And I pray today we would be people who yoke up with you, Father, and live for you. We'd be like Jesus, who in the middle of rejection and hard times tells everybody, come unto me and I will give you rest. My yoke is a burden is light. What a strong Savior we have to handle our burdens. Lord, help us to hang around the right crowd. Help us go to Jesus and get refreshment. Father, help us to take a day for you. Help us to be in your present day, Father, and just be thankful to people and get your strength. Lord, Father, thank you. Tells us how. And help us in a sea of tired, exhausted people. Help us, Lord, to be rest, shining lights, be not burnt out because the Lord has given us strength. In Jesus' name, our heads and eyes are closed. I want to briefly extend an invitation for you. Heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe today you say, Sir Byram, I'm 100% sure I'm going to heaven when I die. I've accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. I know that. However, I've got a lot on my plate, and I've been getting burnt out. And exactly one of those 8 points you said, I'm exactly the one or two or three doing wrong here. And you know what? I'm making a conscious decision. I'm committing to God. I'm changing something. God, in my heart today, I don't not want to get burnt out. And God spoke to me today, and God spoke to me. I know what I need to do. Pray for me, because I don't want to get burnt out. I'm in danger of it, so I'm going to change something. Will you pray, Pastor, that I can do that? Will you slip your hand up, Pastor Byron? Pray for me. I don't want to get burnt out. Will you slip your hand for me? Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Pray for me. Lots of hands. Pastor, pray for me. I don't want to get burnt out. I know what I need. God spoke to me. God bless you. You can put your hands down. God bless you. And every one of you, may God bless you and help you to be refreshed today. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Maybe today, I don't know 100% sure I'm going to heaven, Pastor. I don't know you can know that for sure. It says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. You get eternal life because the Son of God on the cross for you and rose again and took away your sins. And he'll take all the burden of your sin off of you. Church can't save you. I can't save you. You can't save yourself. There is not one. But Jesus Christ would love to save you. He'd love to wash you from all your sins and remove the load of guilt and shame and sin and forgive you for all you've ever done. He loves you and he wants to give you a home in heaven. And it's guaranteed in his word if you'll trust him. Pastor, God, in my heart, I don't know I'm saved today, but I know that. I'm not 100% sure I'm going to heaven, but I would like to know that. Will you pray for it's about our eyes are closed? Pastor Brian, pray for me. I don't know I'm going to heaven. Will you slip your hand up right now? I don't know for sure if I died today I'd go to heaven, but I'd like to know. I've never received Jesus as my personal Savior. Would you slip your hand up and right back down and receive Jesus as my personal Savior? In just a moment, we're going to sing a song. It's very simple. It just goes, I have decided to follow Jesus, turning back. And as we sing that song, if you've not been saved today, I'm going to have Brother Andy. He's going to come up here, and he's going to be standing up here near the. And if you don't know if you're saved today, I want you to Brother Andy and say, I want to be saved. And he will show you how to be saved today. If you're saved, and you need to be refreshed, then I want you today to come. Oh, God, Lord, I'm not doing this right, and I don't burnt out, and I need to stop doing this. Give me to do it. Forgive me, Lord, and get it right. Christian, just make an altar out of the front door as we sing. Let's stand together, heads bowed, closed. We'll sing, "I Have Decided to Follow Jesus." We sing, whether you need saved today or refreshed, come right now as we sing and talk to God about it. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed, one's looking around. Others have come and are praying at their chairs. Do you need to come tonight? Are you tired of being burnt out? We gave you the steps today. The Father loves you. He wants you to be refreshed and happy and ready to go in life. Come today. As we sing, you can still come. If you're not saved today, if you don't know heaven's your home, you can come. As we sing, you come as God spoke to your heart. Many hands are raised. You come tonight if God spoke to you. As we sing this morning, come. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turn back. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Let's pray together. Father, many are still in their seats and dealing with things, Lord. And Father, you know what we're talking about because you wrote about it. Come unto me all ye labor and are weary. My yoke upon you, it's easy and light. You'll find rest for your souls. Thank you, Lord, that you dealt with the Bible. Help us be refreshed, happy, and go out of here, Lord, realizing that life's good because we have you. And we have the abundant life, and we have eternity to you. Father, thank you for your word that guides us in things. Lord, help us not to be well-doing, realizing our God's going to reward us in powerful ways, Father. And we be refreshed people. And decided that life is good when we're serving you, and that we're blessed people, Lord. Bless every hand that was raised, every single person here. May they know you as Savior, and may they know and the joy of the Christian life, the abundant life that Jesus promised. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, I think we got everything today. I had 3,000 things to do. All those meetings. Men, I need to meet with you in about 5 minutes over here. We'll talk for a few about the men's retreat, the one-day retreat. I want to talk to you about that. And thank you for all that you who gave to help the people. We'll get that to them today. And we're going to have a word of prayer and be dismissed. The men's preaching night, 6 p.m. tonight. I hope I'll come back. It's a fun time, 6 p.m. tonight. Sure do love you. If we can do anything, don't forget to call us. We'll pray for you. We'll pray for you. We do love you, and you're precious to God. Keep serving him, and have a great week this week. We're going to bow for a prayer and be dismissed. I'm going to ask Jess Johnson to dismiss us.
Still.